Cheswick and Harding helped him stand up, and he lay right back down in the footbath. The head bobbed around in the disinfectant. McMurphy watched them lift him standing again. "What the devil is he?" he asked.
"He has hydrocephalus,"
Harding told him. "Some manner of lymph disorder, I believe. Head fills up with liquid. Give us a hand helping him stand up." They turned the kid loose, and he lay back down in the footbath again. The look on his face was patient and helpless and stubborn. His mouth sputtered and blew bubbles in the milky-looking water. Harding repeated his request to McMurphy to give them a hand, and he and Cheswick bent down to the kid again. McMurphy pushed past them and stepped across the kid into the shower. "Let him lay," he said, washing himself down in the shower. "Maybe you don't like deep water." I could see it coming. The next day, he surprised everybody on the ward by getting up early and polishing that latrine till it sparkled, and then went to work on the hall floors when the black boys asked him to. Surprised everybody but the big nurse. She acted like it was nothing surprising at all. And that afternoon in the meeting when Cheswick said that everybody'd agreed that there should be some kind of showdown on the cigarette situation, saying, "I ain't no little kid to have cigarettes kept from me like cookies. We want something done about it, ain't that right, Mac?" and waited for McMurphy to back him up, all he got was silence. He looked over at McMurphy's corner. Everybody did. McMurphy was there, studying the deck of cards that slid in and out of sight in his hands. He didn't even look up. It was awfully quiet. There was just that slap of greasy cards and Cheswick's heavy breathing. "I want something done," Cheswick suddenly yelled again. "I ain't no little kid." He stamped his foot and looked around him like he was lost and might break out crying any minute. He clenched both fists and held them at his chubby round chest. His fists made little pink balls against the green, and they were clenched so hard he was shaking. He never had looked big. He was short and too fat and had a bald spot in the back of his head that showed like a pink dollar. But standing there by himself in the center of the day room like that, he looked tiny. He looked at McMurphy and got no look back, and went down the line of acutes looking for help. Each time a man looked away and refused to back him up, and the panic in his face doubled. His looking finally came to a stop at the big nurse. He stamped his foot again. "I want something done! Hear me? I want something done! Something! Something! Some—" The two big black boys clamped his arms from behind, and the least one threw a strap around him. He sagged like he'd been punctured, and the two big ones dragged him up to Disturbed. You could hear the soggy bounce of him going up the steps. When they came back and sat down, the big nurse turned to the line of acutes across the room and looked at them. Nothing had been said since Cheswick left. "Is there any more discussion," she said, "on the rationing of cigarettes?"